Okay, let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now, I just want to look at that verse today, because he says something about our walk. Walk as children of light, which is something that he says about us, that we are children of light. And there are basically three things that I want to talk about from this verse. What we were, what we are, and what it means now to our walk. And what I'm finding in chapter 5 of Ephesians, often we can go to this chapter and we look at these things he says and we say, well, this is a chapter about do's and don'ts. And a lot of times the focus is on the do's and the don'ts. And while that's true, you know, and he talks about family relationships later in this chapter, I don't think that that's the main purpose of the chapter. I think the main purpose is what he states in verse 2, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And then I think he's going to go on and talk about what that looks like. Christ, who is that sweet-smelling savor, and that we're to present that savor of Christ to the world. And I think that's what he's doing. He's describing more of who we are as opposed to this is what you should do, this is what you shouldn't do. And a lot of times people have taken these things and they've made legalism out of it. They have chiseled a definition as to, well, this is what a Christian believer looks like. This is what they do and what they don't do. And I think that's missing the point. Sure, we can look at these things and say those aren't good things and those are things that you should not be doing. But I think that he's describing this sweet-smelling savor. That this is what we are to be presenting to the world, and especially in a day like today, what we present to the world, we present as children of light. That we are to bring that light to people, even to people that are so-called believers, and say, now look, here's some light of the Scripture. This is what the verse says. Because I'm finding that often among some believers out there, they're not interested in what the verses say. They're more interested in other things. And we could talk about light and get them talking about light, say, oh yeah, we're to be this light of the world. But light to me is something that's revealed in the Scriptures. And if we're to walk as children of light, we are to be people of the Word. Well, the first thing, I think, is he says, for ye were sometimes darkness. What we were. And this, I think, has been a theme of Paul's. When he talks about Gentiles, he's very descriptive as to the place of Gentiles in the past. Go back in chapter 2 of Ephesians. Look at verse 2. Wherein in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You didn't care. You didn't care about the truth of God. You just followed the course of the world. You did whatever the world was doing, and that, you know, that was your, you were consumed by that. You had no other thought. No thought about truth. He says, this is what you were as a Gentile. This is the way that you walked. You didn't care. Then in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. This is who you were as a Gentile. You were sometimes darkness. You had no care, no concern about God at all. As a matter of fact, you were on the outside of all the promises that God had made to that nation of Israel. You were out there. You were not part of it. And as Gentiles, you didn't care. You didn't care if you had a partner or not. Well, you know, occasionally there were those people that wanted the truth of God and they had to come through Israel. But for the most part, they're on the outside. So you were sometimes darkness. You didn't care. A verse we looked at before, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 11. And such were some of you. Going back to verses 9 and 10, this list that he makes there. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. You were sometimes darkness. Yes, this may be a description of you, of your life, what you were. This is what you were. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Well, there is a good verse. Gentiles carried away unto dumb idols. He starts this chapter by saying, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. But you know what you were as Gentiles? You didn't care. You were following dumb idols. You were led after them. You had no heart for God at all. You had no interest. And in fact, back in Matthew chapter 10, this is one of those verses that, you know, I when I read now, I think, why didn't I see it then? Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I read that and I think, why didn't I ever see that he very specifically told his disciples, these 12, because he told them what to do. Go out and do these things. There's all the things that they have seen him do. But he tells them specifically, don't go to the Gentiles. Because as John tells us, he came to his own. His own received him not, but he came to his own. He's coming as their Messiah. He's coming as that lamb that was to be sacrificed for the sin of the world. He came for them. And so now he's sending his disciples out and he's saying, you don't go to the Gentiles. They're on the outside. Go to these people that are inside the nation of Israel, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In chapter 15 of Matthew, another very interesting story. Matthew chapter 15, beginning with verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Now, something to point out before we go on reading here. She is a woman of Canaan. She is not a Jew. She is a Gentile. But she's using Jewish titles for Christ. Look what she says. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Gentiles, for the most part, wouldn't even know what that means. Son of David. And they wouldn't care. But she cares. She said, My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil, but he answered her not a word. Now, often you look at this and you think, well, that's kind of cruel. Answered her not a word. Well, she's not a Jew. But he's pointing something out here when he does this. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. There's that phrase again that he used back in chapter 10. The lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Tremendous story. And Jesus Christ has been criticized for his treatment of this woman. Since first he didn't answer her, and then what he says to her. We can't take what's meant for the children and give it to the dogs, the Gentile dogs. And she said, well, that's right. She could have said, I'm a dog, I admit that freely. But the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. I'm just looking for a little crumb here. I recognize that Israel is that table. And I'm just looking for a little crumb. And she got what she was looking for. And she really became a demonstration to the nation of Israel. Because all of these other people that were brought to Christ and says he healed them, and it says, the multitude wondered. It's like they're saying, wow, look what he can do. This woman knew what he could do before he even did it. And she was a Gentile. But you see how the purpose was to show he came for the Jews, for the Jewish nation. But if a Gentile really recognized who he was, they were allowed in. And so this I think is the direction Paul is going. This is who we are, or who we were rather, as Gentiles. Not interested. Not a part of the ministry of Christ on the earth. There were these occasional Gentiles. This woman, she was just focused. She's not a Jew. But what had he specifically told the disciples? Don't go to Gentiles. So as Gentiles, and as Paul says, you were sometimes darkness, we were on the outside. But look what he says now, back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Oh, you were darkness, but now, and that word but, one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful words in the Scripture, but. Because it just changes the direction. 180 degrees. You're going one way, and here comes that word, but. Now it's changed. But now are you light in the Lord. Something is different. Back to chapter 2 of Ephesians. Look at verse 4. Now he has described what our walk was like, walking according to the course of this world. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Something changed. Oh, this is the way you were walking, but guess what now? This is where you are seated. You're in the heavenly places in Christ. You are with Him. This is such a change, such a radical change. You were on the outside of the promises of God, but now you are actually raised up with Him, seated with Him in the heavenly places. As far as God is concerned, this is how God sees you. This is our position in Christ. He says, you were dead in sins, but He's made you alive. Having believed now, this is what He has done. And that verse 7, in the ages to come, you know, I know that my introduction to rightly dividing the word of truth, and we always talked about these things, time past, but now, and ages to come, and we always went back up to this verse 7 for ages to come. And really, when it says that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That is a verse about us. And what He's going to do in the ages to come, I have this idea that what He's talking about here, that in the ages to come, for all eternity, we're going to be uncovering the grace of God, what He has done, how magnificent this was, what He did. That it's always going to be there. It's always going to be our focal point. Someone says, well, what in the world are you going to do in heaven for all of eternity? Well, I think we're going to be just discovering the riches of His grace. It's going to be just a constant thing. In the ages to come. Look at verse 13, Ephesians chapter 2. But now, because He said we were without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. But now, there's the word again, but now. This is what He has done. It's changed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Second Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, this is where faith comes in, because I see a verse like that. It says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. This verse tells me I am new. I'm a new creature. The old things are passed away. All things have become new. And often, for the new believers, I know at the time that I was saved, back in 1972, that the emphasis was on, oh, a person gets saved, they just change. Their face changes. Everything changes. And you hear the people give the testimony, oh, I just feel great today because I'm saved. And the Holy Spirit came down on me and I just had this great sensation and I know that I'm different. What if you don't feel that? And the problem is you look in the mirror and it's the same old face that's still there. What we need to say to people is, you know what the book says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Forget what you look like. Forget what you feel. I tell this to my students all the time at school. I said, why do you get up and come to school? Because you're just excited and you can't wait to get there. And you can't wait to learn something. No, you get up and come to school because you have to. It's the right thing to do. We do those things that are the right thing to do because we believe it, because we made a commitment to do it. This is something, I make a commitment to believe this. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I don't need any outside evidence of it. It says it right there in the book. And so I know by faith, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. How do I know that I'm seated with the heavenlies in Christ? By faith, the book told me. I just have to believe it. In spite of anything around me, that's my position in Him. Back to 1 Corinthians 6:11 again. And He said, and such were some of you, but, there's that word again, but ye are washed. But ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Three times He says that word. And look at those words that He used. You're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified. And that's just by believing in Christ. All those things are accomplished. I don't have to come down and make a commitment or sign a pledge. I'm not going to do any of these things. I don't have to do that. I just believe and I find I've been washed, I've been sanctified, I've been justified. The work that He did. And then look at verse 19 of this chapter. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Do you know in the secular world they'll tell you, and a lot of times it's in the context of dieting, they'll say, well, you have to remember your body is a temple. And they put a period right there. Your body is a temple. I'm thinking, yeah, that's in the Scripture, but what's the rest of it? What does it say? You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. For the non-believer, you're not a temple. Oh yeah, you need to take care of your body, and the same thing is going to happen because we're all flesh bodies, but this is about being a temple of God. That He dwells inside of me. And this is how I can be light in the Lord. Because He's here. He's in me. I'm that temple. And He says, you're bought with a price. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. And you're to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Glorify God. See, this is another thing that I think, if we're in any situation, that sometimes the best question is to ask, will this glorify God? What I'm about to do, will it glorify God? Because after all, my body is the temple. Is what I'm about to do be glorifying to God? And this is something you want to tell students too. what you're about to do, will it glorify God? Will it bring Him glory? Or just satisfy your own flesh, your own desires? In the book of Romans, chapter 13, Romans chapter 13, verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. He said we're light in the Lord. We're to walk as children of light. And here he tells us, cast off the works of darkness, and put on the armor of light. And, you know, there are so many ideas that we could talk about in terms of light. But I think of it as truth. Truth that we have is a light that shines and dispels darkness. We have the light of truth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, 2 Corinthians 4, 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them, where we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is why I say that part of that light, the idea is truth. He has shined and we have the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. The truth. And so if we're to walk in the light, if we're the light that people see, we have truth, and we present truth to them. In chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Light and darkness do not coexist. And you can prove it real fast. Walk into a room that's dark, and if you turn on the light, that darkness is gone. They cannot coexist. It's either light or it's dark. And so talking about our relationship with others, what do you have in common with those that are unbelievers? Nothing. We have light. We have that truth. And these are interesting verses. In 2 Timothy chapter 6, no, I don't mean 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16. Talking about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords from verse 15, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto. This is the kind of light that God dwells in. But then, in 1 Kings, and I just put these verses out there. I don't have too much to say about them. 1 Kings chapter 8. Verse 12. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Solomon, the Lord said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. Now I find that fascinating. He would dwell in thick darkness, but he dwells in this light that no one can approach to. the light is so bright, but yet there is this thick darkness. And it seems that God has gone to great lengths to hide himself. He's hidden in darkness. He's hidden in light. No one can get through. In Psalm 97, Psalm 97, verse 2, clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. Clouds and darkness round about him. Interesting thing. Well, back to Ephesians. This is what I think that it means to our walk. We're to walk as children of light. We're to walk in this truth, in knowledge. We understand the truth, and it should determine how we walk. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us. Walk in love. Back to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6 verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. To have walk in love, walk in newness of life. Romans chapter 13. Verse 13, Romans 13:13, let us walk honestly as in the day. Walk honestly. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Where we walk by faith, not by sight. Walk by faith. And this is that faith that's believing the light of the truth that we have, that light of the gospel, this book that we have, we believe it. I don't see it. But I don't walk by sight. I walk by faith. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Walk worthy. Chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Which that tells me we have some control over our behavior. And all of these things are about that, as he tells us how to walk. And then in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Those on the outside, walk in wisdom. Show wisdom. Do the wise thing. And I think that all of that is walking as children of light. We are light in the Lord. Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry gave this mission to Israel that they were to be the light. He himself said, I am the light of the world. And he, speaking to them, they were to be the light. Well, they evidently dropped that ball. And this has all been passed on to us now. And we're to walk as children of light in Christ. And any of those barriers now are immaterial if you're in Christ. You're part of Israel, you're Gentile. Doesn't matter. The barriers are now down through the work that He did, and we walk as children of light. And we are to present that light. And one of these things about walking in wisdom toward those that are without. They need to see that light. The world needs to see the light that we have. And it's the truth that we have. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotional excitement. It's not a look. It's truth. And the world needs that kind of light because they are walking in darkness. And the way to dispel the darkness is to turn on the light. Let's pray.